The Black and Abdallah podcast is brought to you by DuPage Credit Union. Don't settle for dealership financing when you can apply for a low-rate vehicle loan at DuPage Credit Union. Visit DuPageCU.com. By member's choice, this financial institution is not federally insured. DuPage Credit Union. Banking inspired.
This is Chicago's College Tailgate, live from Twin Peaks and Oak Brook Terrace.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Presented by Nissan and brought to you by Coors Light.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Back to Chicago's College Tailgate with Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
It's Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Bleck along with Adam Abdallah. We are presented by Nissan. You can also watch the show today on Twitch, ESPN 1000 Chicago. We're also brought to you by SGCSportsInfo.com and Coors Light. We're drinking Coors Light. Abdallah's eating birthday cake.
I am.
A little chocolate on chocolate action.
If you want some, come get some. If people want it, it's for the people. I can't eat this much cake.
I think you should try and take this down.
Only if you pay me.
I'm not going to pay you.
You paid for the cake.
I did.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I mean, but yeah, it's your birthday. Happy birthday.
I'm eating my name. Do you have to eat your name part?
Well, listen, I'm not kidding. She originally spelled your name A-D-A-N.
A-D-A-N.
Here's
$10 to eat
the whole cake.
I once got $100 to eat like 3/4 of a Portillo's cake. You think I'm eating $10 to eat? I guess this is like... this is like half a Portillo's cake.
This is Jules, man.
Jules. I appreciate that it's from the Jules.
Is there anything better than a Jules sheet cake?
No, not really, no.
By the way, after your mom called, my mom texted saying, tell Adam happy birthday.
Oh, tell her thank you.
You just did.
Thank you.
Yeah. Black and
Abdallah. Oh, your parents listen. That's right.
Yeah. It's Black and Abdallah. We're live at Oak Brook Terrace at Twin Peaks hanging out with you here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Every 30 minutes, we get a top 25 scoreboard update.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Here's Tyler Aki.
Big 12 championship game. Baylor, the 14-3 lead over Oklahoma State right now. How about this? Coach of the program, Thomas Hammack, getting the Bleck and Abdallah bump right now. 17-0 in the MAC championship. How about that? And then we've got the Pac-12. That was from last night. Utah took down Oregon 38-10. UTSA beat Western Kentucky 49-41 in the Conference USA championship. And then later on today, we've got big games with Georgia and Alabama. That's starting at 3 o'clock. The AAC championship game, that's at 3 o'clock as well. Cincinnati taking on Houston. Big Ten championship game at 7 o'clock. Michigan and Iowa. And then Pitt and Wake Forest in the ACC championship. That game also at 7 o'clock.
Thank you, Tyler. Every 30 minutes breaks down the scores for us here on Chicago's College Tailgate. And like Tyler's saying, there's only two games going on at the moment, but we have championship games to kind of keep our eyes on throughout the day. One of the best days in college football, Championship Saturday. As we take a look now, Georgia versus Alabama in the SEC championship game, 3 o'clock on CBS. Georgia's the number one team in the country. Alabama, the number three team in the country coming into this weekend. And before we even get into the matchup today,
let's go back in time, Chris.
If we go back to last Saturday night, what a classic Iron Bowl that was.
Man.
Alabama wins it in overtime, 24-22.
The defense finally shows up for Alabama in a game that, you know, without Bo Nix, people kind of thought that Alabama would run away with it. They literally could not run away with it because they could not run the ball. And now you've lost Brian Robinson. He's got a, quote, lower body injury, like it's hockey now or something. And so he might not play today, but it was good to see the defense step up in that game and the offense step up when you needed to at the end. The weird overtime thing. I'm telling you, you hate on it, but when your team is a part of it, it is a rush. Like, it is wild to be like, oh, man, you got to score again? Okay, all right, let's walk down to the end of the field. Like, it's crazy, dude.
No. Disagree.
I like
complete
it.
Complete disagreement
I like
here.
It. You can't just have the game go on forever.
Dude, you can't, after two overtimes, say
right.
We're only going
That's
for
fine.
Two-point conversions.
Put it at, like, the fifth one or something.
That's fine. If you want to say, because this is how this all started, right? A couple of years ago, LSU and Texas A&M played, what, seven overtimes?
Yeah.
And both teams had over 100-plus plays on offense.
I think they hit the over just in the overtime plays.
So the concern here is safety based on the amount of plays it takes to conduct continuous overtimes over and over and over again. I get that. They want to avoid that. Either you got to go to like a sudden death time period type of thing, first team to score, or keep it the way it is, but move the 2-point conversion portion of it to either the fifth, the sixth, the seventh overtime.
I think it should be the fifth. You give each, fifth is fine.
Because
give them the fifth.
The way it was.
That's fine.
The way it was pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. Yes.
But now they mess it all up because now all you get is you get two overtimes and then boom, here we go. 2-point conversions and now you're swapping ends of the field.
But let's go back even further, Chris. Georgia and Alabama today. Alabama 6.5-point dog. SP Plus has this matchup at 7.5 for Georgia. 2018. Remember 2018? Georgia leads Bama 13-0 at halftime. Tua comes in. Second and 24. They bench Jalen Hurts, put two in. They go to overtime. They come back, go to overtime. Second and 26. They win the national championship game. Then go back to 2019, SEC championship game. Georgia's up 14 against Alabama in the second half. Tua gets hurt. Jalen, who stayed at school, stayed at Alabama before transferring to Oklahoma, has to come in and win the game for Alabama after Tua gets hurt. This is a different Georgia team now, though. Now, this Georgia team this year. Now, it's crazy that they're the number one team, and it says like people haven't watched them a lot. But if you haven't seen a lot of Georgia, people are like, "Oh, they don't play good competition. They don't. Oh, they haven't played anybody since that Clemson game. You know, they haven't really. You know, they don't score a lot." How about this? They have the third best offense in the country right now. They have the number two offense according to SP Plus. Now their defense is out of this world. One of the best ever. Not like this year, ever. They are the second best defense in the history of college football, only behind 2011 Alabama. They're first in points allowed per drive. They're first in expected points allowed. They're first in defensive SP Plus and Football Power Index. They're first in success rate. They're first in three and outs. They're first in everything is my point. They are first in everything.
They're good.
They're good. Bryce Young has had no time to throw the football whatsoever. He's had under 3 seconds the entire season to throw the ball against Power 5 teams. He's actually had more time. He's had a half second more in the last three games against Power Conference opponents. And Auburn still sacked him 7 times last week. Listen to this.
There's more.
Both these teams are in the SEC. What does that mean, Chris?
Yeah.
It means that they have some common opponents. How about this?
Right.
Auburn, who Alabama had to take 4 overtimes to beat, Georgia won by 24.
Yeah.
Arkansas, who Alabama only beat by 7.
Right.
Georgia won 37-0.
Bloodbath.
Florida, who Alabama only beat by 3 after giving up a 2-touchdown lead that they had in the first quarter.
Yeah. Dan Mullen was still their coach at that time.
Georgia won by 27.
Yeah.
How about this? Tennessee, Alabama won by 28, Georgia won by 24. That's the only one. Is everybody beats Tennessee. That's fine. And also, how are they going to win the game? They need to control the ball. They need to keep the ball out of Georgia's hands. They need to control the clock. They need to have long drives. Alabama this year is hands down one of the worst offensive Nick Saban teams that they've had in a while. Now, obviously, since the new offenses of Nick Saban have come in, when they were just running the ball down everybody's throat and it was like A.J. McCarron and Greg McElroy, like that stuff doesn't count. But when you look at it now, Alabama is averaging only 3.5 yards per carry and 130 rushing yards per game. That's 10th in the SEC. Not 10th in the country. 10th in the SEC.
It's not good.
It is not good. That is not how you win games against Georgia. The way you beat Georgia is you control the ball, you control the clock, you run the ball a lot, and you don't give up chunk plays, which they've been able to do. Stetson Bennett has been completing 65% of his passes this season, and he has 16.7 yards per completion. He's been playing really well. Now, he hasn't had to throw more than 21 passes in a game all season because they've just been running it down people's throat, and the defense, they have the number one scoring defense in the country. There's one metric where Alabama is better, and it's weird to say this, but they have a Heisman Trophy candidate on their team, and they have Bryce Young. And if Bryce Young can find time behind that offensive line and make some throws to Mechie, to Jameson Williams, who's going to be back this week. He was kicked out in the first half of the Auburn game for targeting, which was definitely targeting. And so they have better weapons on offense. I just don't know if they're going to have the time.
You want to talk about a Heisman moment for Bryce Young,
yeah.
You know, being up against it on your own goal line with, less than 2 minutes to play and mm-hmm. driving the Crimson Tide down the field last week against Auburn to score, to tie the football game, to send it to overtime. That's a hell of a Heisman moment.
Absolutely.
For a college football season where there really isn't a heck of a whole lot of Heisman moments.
We'll get into it, and y'all are propping up this Michigan dude and not giving Will Anderson any respect whatsoever.
Well, and then, that's what I think is interesting is the Heisman's going to take place in a week or two here, and really there's not really a Heisman story or a Heisman guy that's kind of leading the way.
We'll get into the odds a little bit later, but when you're looking at this game, Chris, I don't see, unless for some reason they find a way to protect Bryce Young, and Nick Saban has talked about it. They've got injuries at the offensive line. They had to switch out the right tackle and the center in last week's game against Auburn. There's some injuries. They don't even have a fully healthy offensive line. Not to mention, Brian Robinson might not play with that lower body injury. They're missing a bunch of other running backs that they've been without the entire year. This is essentially going to be Trey Sanders and like nobody else at running back. So it's just, I don't see a way. And people are like, oh, it's Alabama. Oh, it's Nick Saban. He's there. Kirby Smart's never beat him. It doesn't matter. This Georgia team feels like the old Alabama teams, where if they don't keep it close early, they figure out a way, they play prevent a little bit, they figure you out, and then that's when they figure out what to do against you defensively. And also, it's also the kind of teams where Nick Saban has had in the past where you look down, you go to the bathroom real quick, you go to get something to drink, you come back, and they've scored 14 points because they've scored a touchdown on offense, and they've turned an interception for a touchdown or a fumble for a touchdown or something like that. This team is inevitable. They are going to beat you some way. They've got 5-star recruits all over the place on defense. They've got decent recruits and decent players on offense, enough to get the job done. I just don't see a way, digging deeper into all these numbers, one, how it's still 6.5, and how Alabama wins this game.
The SEC championship game each and every season, Abdallah, usually signifies a team that will go on to win the national title. Since 2006, the only year the winner of the SEC championship game did not play in the national championship was 2014. Alabama is playing for its 29th SEC championship and its third in the last 4 years today. Georgia's playing for its 14th SEC championship and its first since 2017. The Crimson Tide have 6 consecutive wins over Georgia, including 2 in the SEC championship game. And last year, Alabama beat Georgia 41-24 at home against the Bulldogs. So, you know, the one thing to kind of always point to in this game is that it is the focus on Championship Saturday because usually the team that goes on to win the national title is sitting in this game, playing this weekend in Atlanta in this contest, whether it be the Crimson Tide, Auburn, Georgia, or Florida. Those are based in LSU. Those mm-hmm. are the teams that play in this contest, and since 2006, usually go on to then win the national title.
The other thing I'll look at here in this game is if it's close and it comes down to the end of the game, one offense has been tested this year. And that's Alabama.
Yeah, that's true.
They know how to play.
They played in a close game.
They played last weekend. They had to score every touchdown possible against Arkansas. They scored a garbage one at the end. But Bryce Young needed to score every one of those touchdowns. Like, he had to have the 52 or whatever it was. And then you also look at the game against Florida where they gave up the 14-point lead and only won by 3 points at the end of that game. They've been tested. So if it comes down to it at the end of the game, which offense do you trust more? I trust the Alabama offense more because they've got the playmakers and they've got a Heisman candidate quarterback on their roster. But also, how the hell are they? I mean, Georgia has the most sacks and successful sack rate, and they only rush like 4 or 5. Like, they rarely blitz. They only blitz 22% of the time. It's crazy how good they are at defense.
Black and Abdallah. It's Chicago's College Tailgate. You're saying, oh, no, because it looks as if there's going to be a review here, but it looks like the feet are in.
Yeah.
Baylor's about to go up again with another touchdown. They're putting it on the Cowboys, and there's celebrations on the sideline already for Baylor. So how about that? 5 minutes left to go in the second quarter, and it looks as if Baylor's about to score
chaos.
Their third touchdown.
I need everyone to lose. Let's do it.
If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 312-332-3776. We'll take some of your phone calls coming up next. Also, we will preview the Big Ten title game, Michigan and Iowa. That's coming up next. We're live from Twin Peaks in Oak Brook. It's Black and Abdallah here on Chicago's College Tailgate.
Immerse yourself in the world of college football. This is Chicago's College Tailgate, live from Twin Peaks in Oak Brook Terrace, presented by Nissan and brought to you by Coors Light.
Now, back to more Black and Abdallah.
At Twin Peaks in Oak Brook Terrace. It's Black and Abdallah for Chicago's College Tailgate right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. We are presented by Nissan, and you can watch the show today on Twitch. ESPN 1000 Chicago is our Twitch channel. Shout out to Nissan, also SGCSportsInfo.com and Coors Light. It's Black and Abdallah talking college football with you right here on ESPN 1000. Before we go to the phones, Abdallah, just wanted to make sure people are aware. If you come on out to Oak Brook Terrace and you come to Twin Peaks, not only do you get to see the show, not only are you handing out birthday cake.
Oh, man.
But Chauncey is here.
Chauncey is in the building,
Chauncey's
everyone.
In the building. Chauncey.
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 He's here with the animal picks. He's
red
got everything.
Hot yep. Animal picks. So we're saluting Chauncey, and thank you for all of his help on Black and Abdallah throughout the year. Thank
Absolutely.
You, sir.
Absolutely.
All right, Abdallah, here we go. Let's talk to Matt and Joliet. Matt, you're on ESPN 1000. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I've been listening to you guys talking about Riley heading out to USC and Brian Kelly down to LSU, but there's reports that Mario Cristobal might be heading to Miami. I'm wondering what you guys are thinking about that. There are also reports that they might be stealing Clemson's AD, Dan Radakovich. So you think that'll help get Miami back in the national conversation? Because when Alabama's good, Miami's good, Notre Dame's good, USC's good, that's just good for college football.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Matt. Thank you for the phone call. So that is the rumor from last night, especially after the Ducks went out and were just completely demolished by Utah 38-10 in the Pac-12 championship game. The rumors are that Miami wants to go after Mario Cristobal to become their next head coach, even though Manny Diaz is still currently their head coach at Miami.
Yeah, I mean, for the bowl game.
Season's
over.
From Matt, what Matt says is, like, if you look around college football, Miami is the one last true great power that is toiling in just, like, bad football from year to year.
Yeah.
Where he made a great point. When Notre Dame, USC, Texas, Alabama, all those teams are all rolling, college football is fantastic for everybody.
I think Oregon is one of those teams, too. I think what Brian Kelly did at Oregon and making that team great and fun to watch, and the uniforms and the connection to Nike and everything that's out there, I think that Oregon, to me, these are the same job. Like, these are the same job. Oregon in the Pac-12 is Miami in the ACC. Like, this is right now. Like, this isn't the U anymore. Like, this isn't Catholics versus convicts anymore. Miami, it only has so high up to go now in the ACC with Clemson there. So to me, this is the same job. This is a lateral move to another conference.
Well, okay, so he went to Miami. That's
yes.
One.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would say
I'm talking about the schools.
No,
themselves.
I know. If you look at the history, obviously Miami has a better history.
Yes.
But the way that Phil Knight and Nike pours money into the University of Oregon and their facilities and their recruiting efforts, I tend to agree with you. I think Oregon's a better job. And if you're talking about, like, success at the next level, like trying to win national titles or get to the college football playoff, you have an easier shot at staying at Oregon. Because you're right. Lincoln Riley at USC is going to be something you're going to have to take into account.
But you're recruiting up north.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not – like, you're going against Stanford and Washington and Washington State and Oregon State and those teams. Like, look, Clemson's had a bad year, but Dabo's not going anywhere. Clemson will be right back in this thing next year.
I agree.
So they're going to be fine. So do you want to go to the ACC where you have to compete with Clemson every year, or do you think you can take your shot? Because Oregon is a good job.
I question also how long Mike Norvell in Florida State's going to be down.
Yeah.
You know, Norvell was a hot coaching candidate before he got the gig at Florida State, and things haven't started off well for them, but that's a sleeping giant as well, just like Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's more to kind of navigate and deal with in the ACC, and because not only are you worried about teams in your own conference, you're worried about the SEC as well.
Yep.
You know, like, you have Florida, You have Louisiana State.
Yep.
You have Texas A&M. You have Alabama. All those schools are all recruiting out of Florida as well.
It all comes down to recruiting. And it's easier to recruit at Oregon than it is to recruit at Miami. Again, it's like the LSU job where the letters across the chest say something.
Yeah.
And it does that does mean a lot to some people and staying. But again, if you're in Florida, would you rather go to Florida? Would you rather go to Miami? Would you rather go to Florida State? Like, there's so many different schools that you have at your disposal that you could go to. Whereas if you're in if you're up from up north, you're from California, from wherever, you're like, okay, I want to go to Oregon.
Right.
Nike's cool. I get player exclusive shoes and stuff. Like, that's like, to me, Oregon's a, I don't know. I think Oregon is a very good job. I think it's like that second tier in the Pac-12. You know, like UCLA or USC is like the main job, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And then after that,
it's Oregon.
It's Oregon.
You know, because Washington's down. Arizona State is never quite there.
And they only lost two games this year.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
They were in their conference championship game last night.
I think that's where you kind of look at that Oregon position, and, like, that's a great spot.
Yeah.
It's a great spot. And what they, you know, that's a school that wants to win. Well, and that's where I want to kind of take this full circle is because I think for Miami, and to answer Matt's question, like, full circle, the name I would really go after if I was the U would be Lane Kiffin.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has the personality to mesh there. Just like I think Lincoln Riley's personality is exactly what USC needed.
Yeah.
They needed a guy with sizzle, a guy that could go out there, land top recruits, talk the talk. He's won the games. Mm-hmm. He's had a lot of success at Oklahoma. Now at the next level with the institution that is USC, USC football is going to be back. I know that there are people around the Pac-12 suggesting 2023, 2024 for SC to kind of be back fighting for a college football playoff. I wouldn't be shocked if next season they're a top 10 team. I wouldn't really, because think about what we consistently talk about on this show.
Mm-hmm.
USC has most of the recruits. When you look at the Pac-12, they have good recruits and they have talent. Their coaching was blank.
Mm-hmm.
It was awful. Mm-hmm. Clay Helton in the last 5 years didn't develop a single player. He was terrible. So now you roll that forward. All Lincoln Riley's done has improved guys, especially at the quarterback position, to take it to the next step.
Yeah.
And if you have guys already flipping, like Malachi Nelson, the second overall prospect for the 2023 class, committed to Oklahoma, flipped to USC already.
Man.
Two other five stars flipped to USC already. This team, and then you're looking at their schedule. Look at the non-conference.
Cupcakes. Do you want some cake to go along with this schedule?
Note, two things on USC's schedule next
year. This is garbage.
Out of conference, they play Rice, Fresno State, Notre Dame. Okay, so the Notre Dame game, obviously, every year is tough.
Yeah.
Rice and Fresno State.
But again, here's the thing, though.
And then point out, do you see Oregon on that schedule?
I don't see Oregon on that schedule. I see Utah. Utah will be tough.
Okay.
But
they don't play Oregon next year.
But also, you're going to have the USC, you and USC, will have the better quarterback and better coach in every single one of these games.
Every single matchup next season.
Even Notre Dame. Because, Marcus Freeman's a great coach. He's not Lincoln Riley.
No, and they're not going to have a quarterback that's better than either Jackson Dart or anyone that Lincoln convinces to come from Oklahoma, like Caleb Williams, or whatever takes place in the transfer portal. Here's the point. Lincoln Riley's credentials with Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, with
Jalen Hurts,
and what he's done with those three players, getting them to the NFL and getting them into the Heisman Trophy conversation, is the pizzazz, is the sizzle, is exactly what USC football needed at this time.
Yeah.
Then you look at their schedule next year. You look at the recruits he's already flipping. I wouldn't rule out a top 10 team / college football playoff run next season for Lincoln Riley and USC, and I don't think that's me just being a USC fan.
No,
I think that's looking
at
it from a down Pac-12 and the ability that SC has and the powers that they have going forward with a real football coach. Last 5 years, they haven't had a real football coach. Clay Helton wasn't a real
guy. No, you're right, and I'm looking at Miami's schedule. Texas A&M, Clemson, North Carolina. That's it so far. Those are like the only really big games. But
their out-of-conference game is Texas A&M.
It's much tougher.
That's a tough game.
It's much tougher. I'd stay at Oregon. That's just me, though.
Yeah. So there you go. We're going to preview the Michigan-Iowa Big Ten Championship game coming up next. It's Black and Abdallah. We're live at Twin Peaks in Oak Brook Terrace. We're talking college football. We're drinking Coors Light right here on ESPN 1000.
Live from Twin Peaks and Oak Brook Terrace, this is Chicago's College Tailgate with Black and Abdallah, presented by Coors Light.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000.
That's right, we're at Twin Peaks in Oak Brook Terrace, hanging out. It's Black and Abdallah, Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Let's get a top 25 scoreboard with our guy, Tyler Aki.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Tyler.
All right, let's start in the Big 12. Coming up on halftime, where Baylor has the 21-6 lead over Oklahoma State. In the MAC championship game, NIU, the 17-0 lead over Kent State right now. That game is at halftime. Coach of the program, Thomas Hammack, with the lead right now at half. Last night, Utah took down Oregon 38-10. UTSA beat Western Kentucky 49-41. That's the Conference USA championship. And we got a bunch of big games later on today. SEC championship at 3 o'clock, Georgia-Alabama. Big Ten championship at 7 o'clock, Michigan and Iowa. And the AAC championship game as well, Houston taking on Cincinnati.
Thank you, Tyler, and thank you for all the top 25 scoreboard updates throughout the college football season as Tyler brought them to us on each and every show here for Chicago's College Tailgate. That was the last one.
Yeah.
So thank you, Tyler. We appreciate you, my man.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Before we get into Michigan and Iowa, okay, why are people coming up behind us?
I don't know. People are just behind me. They're getting on the Twitch.
Cool.
They're doing it for the Twitch.
They just decided to come up on Twitch.
Yeah, yeah. Focus. You're a professional,
I'm
man.
A professional here.
Okay, yeah,
question.
Stay locked in.
Question for you. All right, Bill Connolly of ESPN
does
SP Plus, just said this. If this score holds and Baylor beats Oklahoma State, Notre Dame's odds to make the playoff go up by 15%. Bama goes up by 11%, Cincy's up by 5%, Michigan up by 4%. Now, you talked about Oregon possibly making it in. Is there any chance? I know you did the playoff predictor numbers, blah, 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 but this isn't a computer, okay? These are people watching games. If Baylor continues to put it on Oklahoma, is there any chance, Oklahoma State, is there any chance that they leapfrog Notre Dame and they say a conference title winner who just beat the fifth best team in the country makes it in as the number four spot if Alabama loses to Georgia?
I don't think it's likely based on what we've seen to this point in the season and the conversation around Baylor. They lost to TCU.
Yeah.
And TCU is terrible this year. They lost 30-28. And their other loss was against Oklahoma State. So the fact that they come back and if they blow out,
but you were making
Cowboys
the case for Oregon, and Oregon lost to Stanford.
No, I agree with you. I just think that we haven't really heard a whole lot about Baylor. I think that would be interesting. I like that. I like that flavor.
I'm just saying.
I'm cool with that.
I'm just saying, keep an eye out tomorrow. Let's say you need two teams. If Cincinnati loses or Michigan loses, Alabama loses, two other teams lose.
That's what would have to take place.
Baylor
Michigan
might get
and Cincy would have to lose. Georgia wins.
Yeah.
Then you could talk about Baylor. I like that. I'm cool with that. It's a weird conversation because then they have to put Baylor up, a conference champion, up against Notre Dame. Right?
Yeah.
And they have to figure out how to see that and whether or not both of those teams get in.
Because
I would assume you would put Baylor ahead of Alabama, right?
If Alabama loses?
Yeah. You have to.
Alabama would have lost to two ranked teams then. Texas A&M
But Baylor's Georgia. A conference champion. And they claim that conference championship winners are weighted at different level than say others.
I'll be interested to see tomorrow if Alabama loses how far down they drop them. It doesn't matter because the bowl games don't matter at that point because who cares?
John stopped me on the way back from the bathroom. He saw my shirt. I'm wearing my home field Texas Longhorn shirt.
Let me get a touch of this. It's soft.
He's a Texas fan.
Oh, okay.
He's very interested in the quarterback that just decommitted from Ohio State.
Oh, Ewers?
Yeah.
He's
saying Ewers? Watch out for where
Ewers?
He's
Is that how you say
go.
It, Tyler?
Then,
yeah, Ewers.
Also,
Ewers?
Ewers. And I think he, on his possible commit spots, is like Texas A&M, Texas.
Tech and Texas.
Yeah, so he's going back home to the state of Texas. He was the number one recruit. He was committed to Ohio State with Ryan Day. Then he said, what do you think about Dabo Swinney at Oklahoma?
Oh, no.
And I was like, I don't think that that's a thing.
No,
I don't think that that could happen.
Because, again, who's Dabo competing with in the ACC? Nobody. Himself.
Yeah.
Like, there's why would you ever go to a school where you're going to have to compete
in the SEC? That would blow my mind if that was a thing. That's he's a Texas fan. He's worried that...
Yeah,
that,
no. Don't worry about that. Worry about that Sarkisian's not the real deal. That's what you need to worry about.
I said, how are you enjoying 7-win Sark?
Did they even get to 7 this year?
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they didn't, no.
All right, let's preview the Big Ten Championship game. Michigan, Iowa, they play tonight. 7 o'clock on Fox, live from Indianapolis. The Michigan Wolverines are 11-1, 8-1 in the Big Ten. Number 2 in the rankings right now, Iowa, number 15. They are 10-2, 7-2 in the Big Ten. And coming into this matchup, Iowa at one point was ranked number 2 in the country.
Yep.
They fell back a little bit, but now they get a chance to play for the Big Ten Championship.
Two keys to this game for Iowa, pretty simple. They're the keys for every single football game. But they're more important for Iowa in this case. Iowa, in the last 2 years, is 16-1 when they allow less than 24 points.
Wow.
They're also 12-0 when they win the turnover margin. So it's very simple. Win the turnover margin and limit Michigan to 24 points or less. Can they do that? Can this defense step up and limit Michigan to that amount of points? I think they can. We saw Michigan score a bunch of points this game. It opened up at 10, it went to 10.5. Now it's at 12.5 for this game. So, to me, Michigan has a great defense. They run the ball. They basically watched how Oregon beat Ohio State and was like, yeah, we can do that. Just run the ball. Run the football every single time. Play great defense. Play great in the secondary. Get to the quarterback, which is what they did. They made C.J. Stroud uncomfortable in that game. He made some mistakes, made some bad throws. That's exactly how they won that football game. And they just ran it down Ohio State's throat. Can they do that to Iowa? Iowa's been a little bit more susceptible to the run the last few weeks. So the game plan is there. It can work. But if Iowa controls what they do best, win the turnover margin, which we've seen them come back to earth throughout the season. They started off that season when they were ranked number 2. They were forcing like 3 turnovers a game. It was crazy. But then that stuff evens itself out, and eventually you don't win the turnover. We saw it happen against Purdue when they didn't win the turnover margin. They lost the game. So win the turnover margin, play good defense, and you should be able – they can do this. They can do this.
I think they can, and I agree with you. Iowa returns to the title game for the first time since 2015 and the second time in the 11-year history of the Big Ten Championship game. Did you know that Michigan has never played in this game? Like, think about that. For the history of Michigan football,
yeah,
they have never played in the Big Ten Championship game, and today will be the first time that they play at Lucas Oil Stadium facing off for the Big Ten title. You know, look back to last week, Abdallah. Michigan, that victory over Ohio State, 42-27. The way they won in the trenches. They ran the football, and they got to C.J. Stroud with their front four, and they dominated, really. And the run game with Hassan Haskins, his 5 touchdowns, and the ability late, under 8 minutes, under 6 minutes, to continue to get first downs, continue to run the football, really drove Michigan to the blowout victory over Ohio State last weekend.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at that game, they won 42-27. It was just an ass beating by Michigan. It was fine.
It really was good to see.
I like Harbaugh. I think he's a nice guy. It's good to see him get over the hump, but they ran the ball for 297 yards. And like C.J. Stroud, he made some bad throws, but the dude still threw for 400 yards. Like they didn't, but here's where it was. They limited Ohio State to only 64 yards rushing. They couldn't control the time of possession. So Michigan, 300 yards on the ground. If they do that against Iowa, it's over. Like you're not stopping Michigan at that point. Has Michigan got over the hump, and will there be a letdown after that big win against Ohio State? Harbaugh's never beaten Ohio State. None of those kids at that school right now have ever beaten Ohio State. Nobody that's played for Harbaugh in Michigan has beaten Ohio State. It is a huge emotional win, and can they calm themselves down and realize what they have in front of them as a chance to go to a college football playoff and represent the Big Ten in that game?
Michigan has won 4 straight, will play its first game in Indianapolis in more than a century today. The Wolverines won their 2 previous games in Indy. One was an 18-0 victory over DePaul in 1892.
Okay.
And the other was a 22-0 victory over Wabash.
Oh.
In 1907.
Isn't DePaul and Wabash downtown?
No, not DePaul and Wabash.
Oh.
Wabash.
I took some business
college
classes before I dropped out of DePaul.
DePaul.
I took my business classes down there. It was right there. It was Jackson and Wabash.
No. It's not Wabash. Not downtown. How about that? Michigan, the last time that they played in Indianapolis, 1892 and 1907.
Wow.
The Big Ten championship game, 7 o'clock tonight on Fox, Michigan and Iowa. If Michigan wins, they get into the college football playoff, and they have a legit shot at winning a national title.
Hey.
If Iowa wins, they get to go to the Rose Bowl. And that's a great consolation, right? And you face off against Utah, right? And like that'll be a good bowl game.
Oh God, what is that? 2-0?
That'll be a great bowl game.
2-1 Iowa against Utah.
Yeah, I think people will really enjoy that. And shout out to all the Iowa fans who then get to go to Pasadena. That's the best looking bowl game in all of collegiate sports.
Yep.
The Rose Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. It's Bucking Abdallah, Chicago's College Tailgate. Coming up next, we preview the Heisman Trophy presentation. We have the Heisman Watch. It's Bleck and Abdallah live from Twin Peaks in Oak Brook. We'll talk to you on the other side right here on ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's College Tailgate Show, live from Twin Peaks in Oak Brook Terrace. Watch us on Twitch, follow ESPN 1000 Chicago, and listen on the ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000.
Drinks on Schlup.
Drinks on Schlup. He just won the gift card here to Twin Peaks.
How about that? Look at that.
Shout out to everybody.
Congrats.
But Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000. Sincerely, thank you guys for listening, downloading, supporting the show every single week. We love it. This is our last show of the year. It's always bittersweet because I love this day. And it's like the longest time between the next meaningful college football game. I mean, obviously the playoff and that kind of stuff. But all the people from Twitch that watch every single week, all the people from Twitch that come out here every single week that we're out on remotes, Travis for setting up every week, JR coming out here with JR Wave, JR.
JR, JR.
Yeah, the world famous JR Strauss is here, everybody.
JR.
For making us sound great and everything and interact, yelling at people on Twitch all day. Thank you guys so much for supporting this show because without our great sponsors, our great partners, without you guys listening, we would just be talking college football at a bar with each other. And that's,
by ourselves.
Yeah, and like that's fun, but...
No, it's not really.
He doesn't like hearing me yell.
I think this is better. So shout out to Coors Light, to SGCSportsInfo.com, and to Nissan. Like Abdallah said, thank you to Travis Wacker, to Colin Broderick, who are a part of our marketing team here at ESPN 1000, to the world-famous J.R. Strauss engineering today's event. Shout out to J.R. He's been with us for every Chicago's College tailgate.
Okay, we got a fire Nagy chant here now. Nagy. There's children here, guys. Come on.
This is an appropriate location for a fire Nagy
chant. There is. Shout out to Tyler for producing the show every week and giving us those updates throughout the show.
Thank you to Sean Davis and to Erica Strowski also producing our show throughout the football season. And Abdallah's right. Chicago's College Tailgate. We only run this throughout the fall because college football, once the bowl season begins, it gets a little disjointed.
Disjointed.
But you can listen to us weeknights 6 to 8, Bleck and Abdallah, each and every night on ESPN 1000. So, again, thank you to everyone who made this show possible, especially Nissan, SGCSportsInfo.com, and Coors Light. It's been a fun college football season. You want to do the Heisman Watch?
Yeah, let's do the Heisman Watch.
Let's do the Heisman Watch.
It's college football's highest honor.
From now on, your name will be followed by the words Heisman Trophy winner.
I'll be the Heisman.
Here's Chris Fleck and Adam Abdallah.
All right, is your guy, after his Heisman moment last week against Auburn, going to take the Heisman Trophy next week?
Essentially, yes. Bryce Young right now, according to the odds on FanDuel, Bryce Young is -220. That means you'd have to bet $220 to win $100 if he wins the Heisman. C.J. Stroud falls to +450. Aiden Hutchinson, this is the highest we've seen a defensive player. Aiden Hutchinson out of Michigan is 16-1. No respect for Will Anderson, the best defender in the country. He's got more sacks and more tackles for a loss than any other player in college football, but he's getting disrespected when it comes to the Heisman watch. Recognize, watch the SEC, watch the Alabama. I don't think, what are they, not watching Alabama? Who's not watching Alabama? All of a sudden, this dude gets some tackles off against Ohio State
in
the big
game.
Well,
did you see the clip? He pushed over the offensive lineman, got right to the quarterback.
Cool. Awesome. Awesome. Will Anderson does that 3 times a game. Get out of here. All right, but if we've been tracking the odds, right,
yes,
which I love to do, the best day to bet Bryce Young besides the start of the season would have been on November 20th. November 20th, C.J. Stroud went up to plus 150, and Bryce Young fell to plus 200. So 2-1 odds, you could have doubled your money. That would have been the best time to buy in on Bryce Young, obviously, instead of before the start of the season. Last week, he fell to plus 190, and now, after those two games happened, they basically flipped. C.J. Stroud last week was minus 220. Now Bryce Young is minus 220 as the Heisman favorite. He has had the Heisman moments. Can he have some more today?
Let's hope. That's kind of what it's going to be about, right? Like, because for the most part, like, he's kind of alone.
Yeah.
And now it's like, can you dazzle today against Georgia, who coming into this game, we think it's one of the best defenses we've seen in college football in quite some time.
Yeah, it is the
so,
best.
So it's going to be up to Bryce Young to kind of do something to kind of solidify that he is going to win the Heisman Trophy.
Is there any chance that Aiden Hutchinson has a huge game against Iowa and that moves him up?
I don't think so, because it didn't happen early enough in the season.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if he would have had some pop moments early mm-hmm. to then go with the Ohio State game, I could go with you on that. But, like, when you go back to the last defensive player to win, Michigan's Charles Woodson,
yeah,
he was one of the front runners, like, for most of the season.
Yeah.
Then the Ohio State game, he had a kick return and he had an interception. And, like, the Michigan State game, mm-hmm. he did the same. Like, he was also playing offensive role. Like, he was playing offensive snaps as a guy who was just a weapon. And he was in the kick return game. I think he's just totally different. I don't think Hutchinson has a chance. I think it's going to be Bryce Young. And it's been interesting to kind of follow throughout the college football season.
Just put some respect on Will Anderson's name, for God's sake. Come on, man. Ridiculous. The best defender in the country. He's not going to be the highest drafted. He's not going to be the highest drafted. That's going to be Thibodeau from Oregon. But he's hands down the best defensive player.
Stats?
You saw him against Auburn. Yeah, from Will Anderson.
Will Anderson tied for the nation's lead in sacks, 14 and a half.
Yep.
His 30 and a half tackles for loss are 8 more than any other player in all of college football.
Yup.
I mean, this dude is incredible.
And in big games, too, in big moments. Like, he had big plays against Auburn. He's had big plays against Florida and Arkansas in those big games. He had a great, not a game-saving play, but they kept the lead because of him in that LSU game. Like, he's had Heisman moments. I know it's an offensive player's award. It's a quarterback award. He should be invited. Like, if you watch the games and look at the stats, he's hands down the better player. But because some dude had a big game against Ohio State, now he's probably going to get
it. It's kind of a big game, though. It's one of the best games of the year.
You know when the big games are in the SEC? Yeah. All of them, Chris.
Okay.
All,
right.
All of them are big in the SEC.
All right.
All of them.
I've had enough of you.
All of them.
You know, we've covered almost everything, and I know that time's running low here on the program, but there is the bowl season begins today with the game late tonight. The bowl of nobody wants to play this
Don't
game.
Don't do this. No. We're having a good show.
USC and California play tonight at 10 o'clock on FS1.
You've gloated about Lincoln Riley. Don't bring us down
no
with this
No one wants to play this
game.
Do you know
Why
what this
are they
is?
Even this should be one of those games where they
it,
go.
It's a COVID makeup game because Cal had to cancel it a month ago.
It's at Cal, right?
Yeah.
Do they have a big video board?
I don't know.
Let two kids play it out on a college football game.
I mean,
find
like
one of those old school games like Big Cat was doing in the pandemic and have them both just play it out on a video game.
I do want to get your opinion on one final thing in the college football season. We know during championship weekend, at halftime of all of the games, Dr. Pepper sponsors a halftime contest where you throw a football into a hole, right? Mm-hmm.
It's about to happen
Do you go overhand or do you go underhand?
Chest pass.
How do you
do it? Chest pass. Chest pass for the win.
Always chest pass. So that's the best way. You just keep chest passing that.
Just keep chest passing. That's the only way to win. I don't need to start aiming. If you just chest pass. It's the easiest way to do it.
The Dr. Pepper challenge.
I don't care if you get ridiculed because guess who's got that shmoney? Me. I don't care. Knock me for doing the chest pass. I'm rich. I'm not paying for college because I did the chest pass. You're out here trying to be Troy Aikman throwing footballs into a can.
Yeah, you got to throw a football. It's a football. You throw it like a football.
No, it doesn't overhand. Say. It says get the most balls into the hole, phrasing, in the amount of time that you can.
I don't think that's how you do it, though.
That's what
or
it does.
Or your phrasing. I don't that's think that that's
does.
How it works.
I don't know how it works.
I think you're doing it wrong.
No.
I don't think that's how that
Whoever
works.
Whoever does this is going to win. Watch. I just want to see how they do it. All right.
All right.
They're stepping up.
Fred and Xander will have a recap of the Dr.
Of
Pepper
the,
Challenge
the chest pass?
Coming up in
oh,
2 minutes.
Oh, they're going to love that.
Yeah. It's Black and Abdallah signing off for another season of Chicago's College Tailgate. Live at Twin Peaks, Oak Brook Terrace. Thank you for listening all season long. Fred and Xander coming up next right here on ESPN 1000.
Roll Tide!